Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and yes, it's tax season, and yes, now we'll start collecting your tax prep stories. How's the Trump tax law changing yours now that it's its first year in effect? Have you done your taxes already? Have you looked yet? Call us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Maybe you saw the story out today that under the new law, Amazon is paying a corporate tax with a nice round number. Zero, although I believe that's the same thing they paid under the old law last year. But how about you? On average, it's being reported tax refunds are 8% less so far than under the old law. But that's not the whole picture. So here to guide us through a little of this is Washington Post economics reporter Heather Long, who has started following the changes. She's got an article called Millions of Americans Could Be Stunned as Their Tax Refunds Shrink. Hey, Heather, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Always good to be here.
What does the headline refer to? Whose tax refunds are shrinking?
So there's two things going on here. Number one is every week during the tax filing season, the IRS releases data on how things look so far. And so they put out their first data last Friday showing that the average refund was down 8%. And that made a lot of headlines and sort of raised a lot of eyebrows. But really, the bulk of my piece is a different piece of data, and that is last summer, the IRS and the Government Accountability Office, our watchdog group, the GAO, they put out a report indicating that millions of Americans, between 4 and 5 million, would go from having a tax refund to not having one this year, and that another 4 or 5 million would go from having paid about the right amount of tax last year to probably owing the government money this year. And so those are the people that I'm referring to who are going to be surprised.
So surprise for many, tax cuts do not equal bigger tax refunds. So is this a matter of that their taxes really didn't go down, or that their refunds went down for a different reason?
For the vast majority of people, and I'm actually in this boat as well, their taxes did go down in 2018. So 80% of Americans paid less taxes for the 2018 year, but their refund could also be lower. And again, this is my situation. I can see that when I look at my tax form, my 1040 that I hand into the IRS, that my total tax paid at a federal level has declined from 2017 to 2018, but my tax refund also went from about $2,000 down to about $200 because I paid less into the system, and so I got a lower refund.
So this
So
the nature of the shock for some people will be that their employers, unbeknownst to them, because their tax rate was projected to be lower under the new law, started withholding tax at a different rate, and therefore their refunds are going to be less than last year because they didn't realize that the withholding was going to change. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And the employers are doing this because they received instructions from the IRS. So every year the IRS updates the withholding tables, they're called. So they update the formula that's used to determine how much is going to be taken out of your weekly or biweekly paycheck. Last year, because of the big tax overhaul that Republicans and President Trump signed, there had to be a lot of updates to that withholding table. The IRS was actively made a decision to try to get more people to, quote unquote, be perfectly withheld, meaning that you would hit this point of the year in 2019 and you would neither owe the IRS money nor get a refund. Mm-hmm. However, what we're finding is Americans love refunds. 75% of Americans in the past several years have received a refund, and people are very upset that they either aren't getting a refund now or that it's smaller.
Listeners, again, we invite you to start sharing your tax prep stories. How's the Trump tax law changing yours, you early birds? I really realize it's only February 14th. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Everybody wish everybody else a happy Valentine's Day. But how's the Trump tax law changing yours if you have crunched your numbers yet? Have you done your taxes already? Have you looked? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 with Heather Long, economics correspondent for The Washington Post, who's already done an article on this. And you noted in your piece, Heather, that some people have already taken to social media using the hashtag GOP tax scam to vent their anger. What are the biggest complaints from people using that hashtag?
So there's two main things going on. One is that shock. Again, people, you usually get about the same for the last several years. I know this has been the case for me. You get about the same tax refund year after year. And so to suddenly show up and see, whoa, my tax refund's either totally wiped out, maybe I owe a little bit, or it's just a lot smaller, that's a shock to people. A lot of people kind of have come to rely on that money, and the average refund last year was close to $3,000. That's a pretty big chunk of money that people are used to getting in February, March, or April to put towards car payments or paying off credit cards or paying off student loans or putting in savings. So there's kind of a shock. But I think the second thing, and this one is a little bit more alarming, particularly in the New York City and Washington, D.C. areas, there are 5% of Americans, so several million Americans who are seeing a tax increase from this new tax plan, a new tax code that we have starting in last year. And so those people, and I featured one in my article, they didn't just have a withholding problem. They actually did owe more tax last year, and that's why their refund is going down or been wiped out.
Let's take a phone call. Amy in Northport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We are in that group of people who have gotten a much lower refund. We got about 40% less this year, and we knew that we were getting a little more in our paychecks, but it definitely was not 40% more. So for us, it was a net loss. And I really think that, the GOP played this so perfectly by giving everyone a little bit more in their paychecks right before the election, and then after the election, everyone files their taxes. They find out that more in their paycheck doesn't really equal more for them. And by the next election, everyone will have forgotten it.
Thank you very much, Amy. Patrick in Waldwick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Brian. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. I dropped my taxes off yesterday at my accountant, and last year, I'm a performer, and last year I got back about $9,000 from my federal return. This year he told me I'm going to get about $1,300, which is quite a significant drop. And I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, you know, everybody who paid attention to anything that was going on in Washington knew exactly what was going to happen, and that, you know, if you lived on one of the coasts, you were going to get the shaft.
Did you see if your total tax bill went up or if just because of the withholding issues we were talking about before or something else?
It has it has a lot to do with what I can deduct. You know, while I can still deduct things on my state return for New York, I can't deduct anything on the federal return or many of the things that I could deduct last year. I can no longer deduct. So,
like what? This is important. Like what, Patrick? This is important.
Well, a lot of the expenses that I have, you know, for instance, if you're a performer, you can no longer deduct fees for your managers and your agents. Now, that's money that goes directly to somebody else. That's 20 or 30% that goes directly from my paycheck to somebody else that I never see that I'm still paying taxes on. That's huge.
Patrick, thank you very much. Heather, do you know that to be true?
Yeah, he's exactly right. A good friend of mine is a clarinet, professional clarinet player, and she flagged this for me as well. Musicians were particularly hard hit because, for instance, she would deduct the cost of buying a new instrument. So basically, you think about musicians as sort of self-employed businesses, and they were able to deduct a lot of their business expenses, like the caller was just saying, whether it was agent fees or buying new reeds for the clarinet or buying a new instrument, those things could be deducted. Another one that I've heard from several Washington Post readers about, and this probably impacts the musician as well, is you can no longer deduct mileage. So if you travel a lot for your job and you don't get reimbursed for that travel, you used to be able to deduct that mileage, and that can really add up to quite a big deduction, and that's now gone.
And since there's no more recording industry economy for your recordings, the musicians are traveling all the time to be on tour. Why would a purportedly business-friendly party reduce what you can deduct as a business person?
It's a good question. It points to these are, I'm not going to defend what was done there, but so there were definitely winners and losers, as there are with any big change. And I do think that if you look at the businesses that did get large tax deductions, obviously large corporations did very well from this bill. Similarly, what's known as pass-through entities, some people say that small businesses are a part of that. But those are usually not sole proprietorships per se. So,
I've been told that truck drivers also cannot deduct their mileage expenses, which would be a core, obviously, of their business. Do you know that to be true with respect to truck drivers?
Well, I would assume it operates the same situation, basically, that the musicians are facing, which is if you are an owner-operator of a truck, an 18-wheeler truck, and there are a substantial number of those independent operators, they call themselves, then yes, you might face that same issue, that mileage deduction is gone.
Juliet in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Juliet.
Hi, Brian. So my husband and I both work from home. We don't have our own businesses, but now we can't deduct anything from our home offices. And also there's a family credit. We're a family of three, and mm-hmm. It's $4,000 per person. We can't deduct that anymore. So that's gone. And we also live in New York. We have high tax, high real estate taxes and such. And, you know, that got us. I mean, we are appalled at how we did get the shaft, as your other caller said. I mean, it really, you know, we are solid middle class, and it is not working out. Did not work out for us this year.
Juliet, thank you very much. Well, I think we're hearing a pattern, at least one of the patterns that maybe we can say exists among our listeners, Heather, is that for people who live in the suburbs of New York City, with high property taxes, if they own their own homes, higher than the new state and local tax deduction limit mm-hmm. for federal taxes, mm-hmm. and their business owners or freelancers, which is a category of business owners, they're getting messed with by this law.
I think that's a pretty good generalization. Yep. And we're hearing it from a lot of readers in the Washington, D.C. area as well. And I suspect it would be similar in San Francisco. And Republicans, their response to this, Kevin Brady, who is one of the main authors, he's a congressman from Texas, who is one of the main authors of this tax legislation, just throws his hands up and kind of says, look, those states are too high taxed. You know, they have too high of property taxes. And if they would just lower those, then it would be fine.
Maybe a more satisfied customer. Maeve in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maeve.
Hi. I mean, not necessarily satisfied, but one step that I felt like was an interesting direction, and I would like to, I think it does make tax preparation slightly easier to have the higher basic deduction. As someone who does my own tax preparation, I get pretty nervous about dealing with my charitable or student loan contributions on my own. And so having kind of that higher limit made that much simpler. But on the other side, it does concern me that people are not going to be as they're not going to necessarily see the benefit of their charitable contributions in their taxes, and I wonder how that's going to impact the contributions that they may make in the coming year.
Great question. Heather?
Yeah, it is a great question, and I've certainly heard a lot of concern about that. On the charitable side, I'd say two things. Number one is very high earners can still deduct some of that charitable contribution. So for your millionaires and billionaires who do give a lot to charity, they would still get that. I would also note that a number of other countries have played around with this, whether or not charitable contributions should be tax deductible. And generally, the findings from other nations that have done something similar to what the United States just did is there's sometimes a slight dip in the first year, but after that, there is no dip, that things rebound pretty quickly. Again, people give to charity for a lot of reasons, not just for the tax deduction. And number two, if the majority of Americans do have more money in their pocket from the tax cut, at least for the first few years, you would hope and think that they might give some of that to charity.
The callers we got, and Maeve, thank you for your call and your question. The callers we got whose taxes are going up under this new law, who own businesses and have property taxes to pay and are middle class, their taxes went up. What if the same people were making a lot of money from their businesses? I've seen it reported that in New York State, if you have high state and local taxes, I'm sure the same would be true for New Jersey and Connecticut. And you know, you exceed that, and so you lose some of your federal deduction above that $10,000 state and local tax limit. That part of their tax bill would go up, but for people in higher brackets over something $100,000 in general, the abolition of the alternative minimum tax is such a more powerful instrument that wealthier New Yorkers who pay a lot of property tax and maybe even have lost business deductions are still going to make out better. What can you tell us about that?
I think some of that is true, but I would just note there's a reason that New York State Governor Cuomo went down to see President Trump this week and complained that tax revenues are down in the state of New York. And part of that is because some of the high earners, including some hedge fund managers, have actually tried to relocate their tax jurisdiction outside of New York. So I believe it was John Paulson, the hedge fund manager who owns a lot of property in Puerto Rico, who's trying to take advantage of quote unquote living in Puerto Rico now for at least 150 some days a year in order to relocate his tax jurisdiction to a place that has lower property tax, lower state tax. So I would just point out that even at the higher end, some people are also trying to dodge or get around these tax issues.
Although there is a local political dispute about that claim by the governor. He made that claim on the show the other day, and then Mayor de Blasio came on and said, no, I don't think that's actually true. I don't think that millionaires and billionaires are moving out of New York State just because their taxes went up this year to avoid taxes. The evidence doesn't support the claim that people tend to do that with respect to New York. Do you, as a reporter, have an analysis of their, you know, of who's right and who's wrong in their political claims?
I have not. I'm based here in Washington, D.C., so I have not looked myself extensively at the tax data. I think very much like the federal IRS data, we're going to get the next weekly update today in just about an hour from the IRS. So on how things are going at the federal level, and I assume people will be watching very closely the New York City and New York State tax data as well as it comes in to see who's right and who's wrong on that.
One more call. Cassandra in White Plains. You're on WNYC with Heather Long, economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Cassandra hung up. Let's see. How about Nancy in Massapequa? Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Hi there, Brian. I just thought it might be interest to some people of the age group that I am, where I have to take an RMD, a required minimum distribution from our finances, and that is fully taxed. If you want to give to a charity, you can have a transfer of that money from your financial person directly to the charity, and then you are not taxed on at that money.
That's an interesting tip. Heather, we're going to run out of time in a minute. But do you know that one to be true? I guess she's talking about people who, I think it's when you're over 70 and a half or something like that, you have to start withdrawing from your tax-deferred retirement accounts and pay the income taxes on it. So she's saying you could get around those taxes if you donate that money to charity. Is this something you know?
Yeah, I believe she's right. And I think that just, and it's a good reminder that a lot has changed in the tax code in the last year. What we're seeing right now is a good wake-up call to check in with a financial advisor or try to do some research online to figure out how to best plan for 2019.
Heather Long, economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Her article the other day called Millions of Americans Could Be Stunned as Their Tax Refunds Shrink. Keep keeping us informed, Heather. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
And listeners will do more of these segments between now and April 15th to help each other figure out who's winning, who's losing, and what you can do about it under the new tax law.